There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get in the game.
With your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
See, the thing is, you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No, f***ing geek. I'm a f***ing geek.
Only on the VSiN Podcast Network.
All right, another edition of Hardwood Handicappers. We are getting closer and closer to the end of the regular season. Jacob Roach alongside, what's your official title? You're just producer, right?
Just producer?
Well, like, I meant like as in, yeah. Like, are you, I'm out of touch. I work from home, essentially. So is it like executive producer? Is it junior producer? Senior producer? You do a lot, so I figure
producer,
there's something.
Right in the middle.
Just nothing, producer, huh? Yeah. Still no promotion.
No promo here.
That sucks for you. All right, so Jacob Roach is alongside. He was part, for those who know, part of the Hardwood Handicappers initially, was supposed to be on regularly. We changed things up. But by the way, if you're listening and you notice a difference in sound quality, we are recording from the Circa Studios. Yeah, like the actual studio, not sitting in Bar Canada, which I love, not my room by myself at my desk. No, an actual studio. So there's a lot to get to in this episode again, about six games-ish left, depending on the team that you're looking at in the regular season. Postseason around the quarter, absolutely nothing settled. Wanted to start with a couple of hits before we get to what Jacob's got for us. First off, our Hardwood headlines as usual. An interesting version of Hardwood headlines. Nothing necessarily in terms of teams and rosters, but I'm going to read this from ESPN. David Perdom, headline, long shot Atlanta Hawks garnering big bets to win NBA title. DraftKings reported that a bettor in Colorado on Tuesday placed a $20,000 bet on the Atlanta Hawks to win the NBA title at 100-1. Perdom goes on to note that according to DraftKings, the same bettor placed another $20,000 bet on Atlanta to win the Eastern Conference at 40-1. And then he says, of course, if the Hawks shocked the NBA by winning the title, two bets would pay a net $2.8 million. There is more. Here in Vegas, Westgate Superbook reported taking $5,000 on the Hawks on Wednesday at 80-1 odds. So we have this slew of Hawks wagers. Always a reminder that big bets not necessarily equate sharp bets, so we'll see in terms of the respect. I have to reach out to Jeff Sherman. I'm going to text Jeff Sherman right now. Hopefully we get an answer by the end of the pod. I think that the Hawks are clearly the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference. I think that there is a path for the Hawks to, this might sound disrespectful, but I think it's actually a compliment, to lose in the Eastern Conference semis in six games to a team like Brooklyn. Right? I think it would be a pain in the ass to Brooklyn. I don't know about winning the title, but I can understand the respect that the Hawks are getting. I don't know if I would wager this much, obviously, if I had the bankroll. I can understand if you like the Hawks, though, to a certain extent.
I get what you're saying. Like, I can't argue against that. They have a lot of firepower. They have a lot of guys who can score and create a basket for themselves, and I guess that's kind of the important thing down the stretch in the playoff series. With these bets, like, would you, if you had this bankroll, would you do this kind of betting in order to set up, like, hedging down the line in the playoffs? Like, is this something you would do, or is this a little too far of a number to hedge off of?
I mean, you need that hedging is a very personal thing, right? Depends on your bankroll, how much you have on it, all that kind of stuff. But I don't like the approach of betting to then hedge.
Okay.
That just doesn't really make sense, right? Like if I am betting a future, I have multiple futures, right? Yeah. In terms of winning the whole thing. I bet those futures because I thought at the time there was value in that number and that there was a path for that ticket to cash at some point, right? You know, like I have this ticket's awful, but like, was it January, late December? I bet the Pacers 32-1 to win the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
I thought there was a path at that point.
Yeah.
For the Eastern
Conference. They were in the fourth.
They were great.
Yeah.
And so that is something where I thought it was going to happen. But I never approached something where, hey, I'm going to bet this because I think I'm going to look forward to hedging this at some point. I don't think that's a very smart strategy.
You hedged off of your Heat ticket in the finals, right? A different scenario because you're in the finals. How did you hedge off of it, though? Because didn't you do something a little different than like just a regular play against them every game?
You're talking about the Heat ticket?
Yeah.
Well, so I had them at 80-1. No, and then I hedged normally. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals, took a little bit of the Boston Celtics to win in that series.
Okay.
But here's where the other thing comes in. I bought a big chunk off of it with the Lakers because I thought the Lakers were going to win that series. So when they got to the NBA Finals, you know, if the Heat were to win that, I wasn't going to make that much because I had hedged so. And the Lakers were pretty solid favorites at that point, too. So hedging off of that ticket was biting a big chunk out of it. Mm-hmm. But the way I had handicapped the series, I just didn't think that they were going to win that series. So I guess I hedged it in a certain way, but bought off a little bit in the Boston series. They move on. Then I bought like the majority of it off of it with the Lakers series.
And did you hedged off already once the finals was set, or did you do it like while the Eastern, like did you get down on the Lakers during the conference finals?
No. It was once the series price in the finals. And it was, well, because, and here we're sitting in Circa as a point for nobody who can see. Circa had the cheapest price and I was waiting for it. They were minus two. I think I got them at 230.
Okay.
230 or 235. And it was by far the market low, like in terms of winning that thing. So that's why I came in and bet it here. By the way, I might have an answer. I just have to get a clarification on whether or not I can talk about this. But Jeff Sherman getting right back to me here on this.
I'm happy he got back to you on the podcast. It would have been really embarrassing for you and your profile.
Me and Jeff go back. I know,
but you set it up like hopefully he gets back to me before the podcast.
Well, he's a busy man.
I wouldn't want that for you.
He's a new, I guess not a new father. His child is getting up there. Like one-ish? I don't know off the top of my head. I'm not going to delve into Jeff Sherman's personal life. But, yes, the Hawks, long shot attentions. The Westgate Superbook, we're getting an identity on, not even an identity, with a level of respect on the player that made that wager. But for the most part, I like this Hawks team. Like, I think 4-5 matchup right now, I keep pointing this out, the Knicks beat them in that game 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They were down by 8. Trae Young goes down with that injury. The Hawks were very comfortably in control. Like 8 doesn't sound like that much in an NBA game. If you were watching it, the Knicks weren't getting really back within that 8. It was just, hey, let's cut it to 6. Oh, give up a 3. We'll score another 2. Like, it was a comfortable lead there for Atlanta. And I think from a matchup perspective, where you look at Atlanta slowly starting to get healthy, we're just waiting for the two wings now at this point. Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, at some point they're going to come back. And when they do, like that, this is the team that I was, I guess, kind of mostly wrong, the most wrong about. I think the Suns are up there too. I didn't think the Suns are going to be the one seed. But I bet under on the Atlanta Hawks. Didn't think they were going to be this good. This has been a team that has come together really well. Hell, I thought that firing Lloyd Pierce was probably the wrong move. And Nate McMillan's been bleeping awesome.
As a guy who went to a lot of Pacers games during the Nate McMillan era, I was in the same boat. I never thought Nate McMillan was much of a coach. I do remember, though, going in, because we were doing the edge when the win totals got set, and this was like one of the win totals you and I really disagreed on, because I didn't think they were going to be this good, but I just realized like kind of everyone's kind of coaching and playing for their jobs this year, so I really thought they were going to go over. It was 36.5 was the opener, and I didn't think it was going to go. I mean, it's over by a game right now, but I didn't think they were going to actually be this dangerous. I just thought they would go over that win total. I did some win total predictions for the season, and I didn't feel good about them, and they're looking decent, although I have a couple egregious ones.
Really quickly before we get to them. So from Jeff Sherman on that future. So again, one last time to reset it. $5,000 future on the Atlanta Hawks over at the Westgate Superbook. $5,000 at 80-1 odds from Jeff Sherman. Just texting him right now. Asked him if it was from a respected bettor. Said no. New players, assuming the same ones playing Hawks everywhere. Said he saw not only just DraftKings, but MGM and Circa also took bets. So you'll have to ask Paul on the nuts today.
Yeah.
We're recording on Thursday. Ask him if that's out there. But all right, so it's a new player. And again, that's what we always talk about, right? big money does not necessarily equate sharp money. So a little bit of a background on some of the Hawks bets that are out there in the ether. All right, so what are you saying about win totals? Hawks, you said you liked them over at the beginning of the season. That was one of mine. I actually, for the most part, I don't want to say cleaned up on the win totals, made four preseason win total bets. I am 3-1 on those, Hawks being the lone loser. Pelicans went under finally for me the other day. So what were some of your, give me the bad ones.
One I was really confident in, and it's looking like it's going to be tough to get home, is the Mavericks over 42.5. That was, I
have such strong feelings on the Mavericks.
I can't wait to get to that. I just I thought Luka was my second MVP pick coming into the season. Mm-hmm. And not that he's had a bad season. I just think we overhyped Luka. I think we just kind of projected him a little ahead of where he is in his career.
Well, and that was my strong feelings for Dallas. It's not even that strong. I said this at the beginning of the year. You're running it back with a seventh seed.
Yeah.
So what was the realistic expectation for this team, right? Luka's a really good player, but when you're running it back with a seventh seed whose big acquisition was Josh Richardson, right? You're asking Luka Doncic to take not a step forward, but you're asking him to become LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in the Western Conference, for people who thought they were going to be competing for a top overall seed, for people who thought they were realistically going to win a title, the step forward that Doncic had to take when you're essentially running back the entire core of a seventh seed. I didn't really understand that leap in logic. And sure enough, where they are right now, they ran it back with a seventh seed. They could finish seventh yet again in the Western Conference. That's just never really made sense to me in terms of the respect for them, because that was just such a massive leap that Luka Doncic had to make.
I think it's I think Giannis might have swayed our opinion that he would make that jump, because Giannis made that jump to an MVP and the Bucks, they jumped up into positioning in the East with relatively the same team as the year before, but also Middleton made a jump. Bledsoe made, everyone around him also made jumps, where Porzingis has been just a question mark all season. I don't even know how his career is going to play out. That's one thing I'm very interested in. Is Porzingis in the NBA in 4 years? He might not be.
The injury stuff,
yeah. And I think Giannis kind of jaded how we were going to assume that Luka was going to perform this year. Because we're okay, you had your playoff scene. Because the Bucks had the playoff series against the Celtics when they went to 7. And then the next
The baby Boston, the baby Beantowners. So good, dude.
Middleton hit that crazy shot to tie the game go to over. Yeah. So
that's a fond memory, too, because that was our year. Humans and I were riding Boston every single series when we were on a show together, and we were talking about it because they ended that year. That's when Kyrie gets hurt. And they actually ended the year, I think we were 15-6 or something like that. Like 21 games. But they're getting no respect. And you're this is a really damn good. They had a crazy regular season game against Utah near the end of the regular season.
Deep.
Right. And they were so good. And then there's that series against Milwaukee, bet on them there. Bet on them in the 76ers series where they win in 5. And it was hilarious. One of my more vivid, this is the best part about, you talk about respect, market respect. The 76ers, because that was a year they won 16 straight going into the postseason, and they beat the Heat in 5. And then they get the Boston Celtics. And I remember sitting here, not here, but at the desk at the South Point, talking with our former colleague Sam Panayotovic. And he asked me the question. He goes, so what are we thinking? 76ers in 5? And I'm like, what? I'm like, I think it's more a 7-game series potentially. This is a really good team in Boston. And they push. This is one of the ones that we're upset about. Because we bet them in, every single series, including the Cavs Eastern Conference Finals series. Well over 2-1 to win that thing. And then it goes down to game 7. And was it Terry Rozier who had a 1-of-12 shooting day that day or something ridiculous?
Yeah, Rozier just did not show up.
But that was a fun Celtics team. That was great.
That was and then on the other side of the bracket, that was the Rockets Warriors game 7 where they didn't show up shooting either. It was just death by shootings for both game 7s in the conference finals. But I think then the next year Giannis comes out, he's MVP. So I think we just assumed hey, Lucas, they were a scrappy 7 seed. Luka's going to take this big jump, and he's going to have MVP year.
Yep.
Which, some people in media, they're putting Luka on their MVP ballots, which, sure, I guess you can maybe say he's probably 4 or 5 because of injuries this year, but I've still kind of been let down by his season and the Mavericks season.
Yeah, so, all right, so Mavericks, give me what else in terms of your dead wrong win total predictions?
So I was really passionate about this one. It could still go under. I don't think it's going to be, but I thought it was going to soar under. I thought the Bulls were going to be really bad.
And
right now,
still there. They need 30 wins, and they're 4 away with, what are we talking about now? 6 left to play for them?
Yeah. So I thought they were going to be awful. I thought they were going to be down there with the Pistons. I thought the Cavs were going to be better. And it's not that they've been bad recently. They just had bad luck since the Vooch trade. But those were the two that I was like probably the most confident about and did not. Well, the Charlotte over, I think, was the easiest win total like ever posted. But
Charlotte Hornets, baby.
But those were the two I was really confident about that did not pan out too well.
By the way, in addition from one Jeff Sherman, not only the $5,000 at 80-1, last week they took at the Westgate $2,500 at 200-1.
Wow.
On the Atlanta Hawks. Well, I look, like I said, I think at that point, too, when you're talking about last week, the Nets were the number one overall seed. That's a really interesting series for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Remember, they beat them twice very early in the year. James Harden is the difference maker if he is going to be on the floor. Here's the thing. I don't even know if Harden's going to be on the floor.
Yeah.
Because that's like the crazy thing about where the Nets are at, in danger of being the Clippers from next year. But that is a story for another time. All right. Really quickly, any other win total things that you got for us?
Those are my two really bad ones.
Okay. What was the best one? We'll give you a moment of glory. What was the one you just hit out of the park?
Well, Rockets under. Just going into the season, I just didn't think Harden was going to be there.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
Newman's was on that one, too. It's one of those where I was watching as the season was playing. I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, why didn't I just realize that, like, yeah, Harden's probably not going to be here? I even think I have to go back and look at the NBA. I liked it at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We did it last year, and I did it. I'm going to do it at some point this year. Going back on the NBA guide and seeing what I was thinking about certain stuff. But yeah, that one seemed like, as it was happening, kind of obvious. Now, what was it, 22 consecutive games they lost? What was the losing streak?
It was 20.
Like, that obviously very much helps. But that was one of those as it was going down. It's like, yeah, that probably was going to happen for the most part. Speaking of which, and this is just an update, as we have always talked about, I have to go back, like Doug Kazarian of ESPN has the database. I got to find if there's ever a worst win total beat than what this Oklahoma City Thunder thing is shaping up to be. They had to go, I think I wrote this down. Let me see. I wrote this down during the show. I'm going to have to find this. At one point this year, all they had to finish, the Oklahoma City Thunder, to go over their win total was 3-20. Yeah, 3-20. No, 3-22, excuse me. They go 3-22 to go over their win total. That's all they had to do. They had just beaten the Raptors on the final game of the month of March, and all they had to do, just 3-22 the rest of the season. And right now they are 21-45. That's brutal, dude. All right.
Poku,
Alexei Pokushevsky, the name that you have to know if you watch the NBA, right? You have to mention that you know who Alexei Pokushevsky is.
Yeah, that's your password.
So annoying. I hate enjoying the NBA. I actually hate that I know who that is.
Yeah,
like, you don't know who Alexei Pokushevsky is? Yeah, I know how to say his name too.
Like Gafford right now is one of those right now. Like, you don't know how hot Gafford is?
I saw when it was like, was it the who's the Wob, Worldwide Wob?
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan really. But he tweeted out like,
he's a listener, so just
Right. He tweeted out yesterday, hey, look, one thing, share my opinions, all right? As the humans call me, baby Francesa. I'll never hold back. But he tweeted out something like, all the tickets on the Gafford train are sold out. If you want, you can get on the way. Like, stop. Like, people can enjoy Daniel Gafford. You can enjoy Alexei Pokushevsky, okay? I should have tweeted that out like, anybody who didn't think the Hornets were going to be good this year, you can ask my D, get on out. No one's allowed on the all-fly train. Like, it's so stupid. Like, stop gatekeeping and all this stupid garbage. Speaking of gatekeeping, I was the first one to tell you that the Minnesota Timberwolves would be kind of good down the stretch.
This is the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast. Interact with the show on Twitter at me, JVT, at Roach_97, and at VSIN Live.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Timberwolves have actually been on a really good run. And this is something, you know, I talked about it on Follow the Money. For those who haven't caught Follow the Money at all with Humans and I think this is worth reiterating to anybody because we have now about, I think, 6 games left for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are 20-46. So what is that? Yeah, 6 games exactly. They are going, they have been, and they're going to be a bet on team from here on out, right? They have been extremely vocal about the fact that they want to work on everything that they have. New coaching staff that was added, right, in February. D'Angelo Russell hasn't been healthy. He finally gets back on the floor 16 games ago with consistency. You know, he's been on the floor throughout the year, but he's finally on the floor together with Karl Anthony Towns and has led to a really solid run here. Last 16 games since Russell's return, 8-8 straight up. Again, this is on Thursday, so keep that in mind if you're listening to this any later. But 8-8 straight up. 9-5-2 against the spread, 10-6 to the over, 13th best offensive rating in the league. Now, they're still outscored by 2.8 points every 100 possessions, right? That's over that stretch. Mm-hmm. So still a below average team, but this is what I was talking about with Humans on Follow the Money, where it's, you know, I'm not betting like this team's going to win the title.
Yeah.
But this is still a team that is being a little undervalued by the market, being power rated at times like they're Sacramento Kings-ish, Houston Rockets-ish, Orlando Magic-ish in terms of their power rating. When in reality, they're more like Chicago Bulls-ish area, right? Indiana Pacers-ish area in terms of the quality of team. So why you're catching 5 against the Warriors, right? On draft night, you win that game outright. Why you're catching 4.5 against the Grizzlies, you get in by a half point. 4 against New Orleans, and it takes overtime for that to even push. They didn't even lose that game. 2 outright wins over the Jazz. So I like the Timberwolves going forward. They're going to be on my card until the market makes an adjustment. The last 6 games, I'm going to be pro Timberwolves almost every single game. And I got to say, health is a big part of it, but I have them circled as a potential overplay on win totals for next season.
Yeah, depending on the adjustment.
Right. Depending on what's going to happen, because I think this team is going to be, like, again, not a great team, but if we're talking about a win total of, like, under 30 for sure, I'm in.
Yeah, once they get all their guys, like, if you have a full season of Russell and then Malik Beasley's fully healthy right. and then Edwards' progression, and if they keep their pick, depending on how things fall, you could be looking at a really, like, explosive young team.
Which they're not helping their, you know, they're not helping, their chances right now by beating the Golden State Warriors and, of course, winning games, but.
Did Golden State try to lose that game?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. Steph has been kind of vocal about wanting to make it to the postseason, although Draymond has been vocal about not, I guess, caring. But it's pretty clear that, like, Steph and the Warriors want to at least make the play-in and try to compete and make it back to the tournament.
So I'm going to throw their last 6 games at you, the Timberwolves, and just let me know what you think their number would be, okay? They're on the road against Miami.
Yep. I'm going to go 7.5.
All right, so you play that?
Yes.
And then at Magic.
That's interesting.
That's a tough one, right?
So they took on the Rockets a couple of days ago. If I remember correctly, it was a road game.
Yep.
And they were 2.5-point favorites.
Okay.
So that's going to be a really good indicator, that Magic game, of if the market's made an adjustment on them. Because if they're still 2.5, 3, the market hasn't adjusted at all.
Okay.
Like, they should be, in that game, I'd expect like a 4.5 on that game. And Timberwolves then, favored by 4.5.
Then in Detroit, 2 days
again,
later.
Same kind of a situation where that should be. And those are two games where I might not ride the car, the train, because I'd like them in better situations like the Miami game. They have really good opponents in the last three games, do they not?
Denver, Boston, Dallas.
Denver, Boston, and Dallas, where they should be underdogs in each one of those games. Boston, yeah, they should be an underdog against Boston. Boston's power rated pretty high. And that's a good indicator, too, right? The other day, Boston's favored by, 11 against Orlando, something ridiculous, 12. Like, that's going to be a good indicator of if the market has adjusted, too. So those two, that Detroit-Orlando game, that Boston game, hell, the Miami game, you're going to get good indicators where the market's at with this team, but they're going to be a play-on team, man. It's already paid off over these last 16 games, and I'm going to be totally in as you kind of move forward with that, too.
This year, have you seen, I know like you were big on the Blazers at the beginning of the year and the market not adjusting to them. Have you seen a lack of market adjustments this year more than last year, do you think, because of the weird schedule and the way teams have been like streaky and not streaky?
Not really. Like every year is like got teams that the market refuses to catch up on, right? Whether it's like the Knicks, for example, they got destroyed by Denver last night. But when you don't cover 14 out of 15 games, I say this all the time, cover streaks are not betting this team. Mm-hmm. Cover streaks are indicators that the market has not power rated that team correctly. And so it gives you an indication of this team is being disrespected. The market power rating is pretty low on this team. Then you use that as part of the equation. The Knicks were that team for a while. The Hornets were that team for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other teams that have kind of been like that. Oh, the Pelicans from the other side of things were that team for a while. The Pelicans were power rated so freaking high. And they're a team that at one point was covering like 46% of their games. Like, that's absolutely brutal, right? You know? So I didn't think of anything really different. That Celtics team that we were talking about a couple of years ago. That team, that was one of the more incredible ones where the market just, like I said, they went like 15-6 in the last 21 games of the regular season. And the market just refused to budge on their power rating. And sure enough, they do what they did. So nothing stuck out in terms of like, good God, what's happening here? The Nets at the beginning of the year, remember? They went on that run with Harden where they went 12-1 over 13 games. They covered 12 of those games. I think I was on them for 10. Like, the market just didn't want to respect that team either. So it wasn't really anything different than what you see.
So is there a correlation there between, like, just injuries in the sports book? Because, like, that Celtics, Kyrie goes down and they refuse to adjust. And then, like, Kyrie and KD are in and out of the lineup, so they don't adjust, and they just stick with the numbers based on Harden,
For some of them. Okay. But like I mentioned, the Pelicans team, right? There's no injuries there. Pelicans are just an overvalued team.
Just because of
the
Zion,
Knicks,
right?
There's no injury with the Knicks. The Knicks are just an undervalued team. So every case is unique for the most part. So speaking of the Minnesota Timberwolves, not the Minnesota Timberwolves, the other bad team. You sent this over in a text, and I cannot wait to hear this. The New Orleans Pelicans wins in 3 out of 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
The competition has been not great. The three wins are Golden State. Don't tell me. Hold on, I got this in front of me. The three wins for the Pelicans that we're talking about here. Golden State, Minnesota, and Oklahoma City.
Top tier teams.
So what's your thing here?
Oh, I'm just looking at the standings in the West, and they're making a possible push to the play-in. They're two behind the Spurs and the Lascon. They're 11. Spurs are 31-34. Pelicans are 30-36.
I think it's 1.5 now, right? Oh, well, 2 in the loss column. You're right. Yeah.
So I'm looking at these, and I think that's like probably the most interesting race right now is that 10 spot in the West. And that's the underrated thing about the play. And everyone's like, oh, it keeps two extra teams engaged. Kind of keeps 4 extra teams engaged. The Kings, I don't think there's a lot of hope for them.
They've won 4 straight.
Yeah, they're a little hot right now. But I could see the Pelicans squeezing in over the Spurs. The Spurs have been trending down lately. It's been a rough go of it.
Well, and
as expected.
Though. Right, and they lost Derek White last week, so that sucks. That's your third leading scorer. Their defense has finally taken that nosedive that I was expecting them to. Like, it was a team that last year finished 26th in defensive efficiency, and yet in the first half of the season, they were top 10 defensive team, and you're like, what the is going on? Like, this is the exact same team as a year ago, and yet their defense now all of a sudden is one of the best in the league. So sure enough, that turns around. So I'm somewhat anti-Pelican, right? Like, I've watched this team flail and flounder and fail in spots that should be winnable and win in spots that were probably losses, like that should have been losses. One of the ones that will never leave my mind is loving the Clippers, like fresh out of the All-Star break against them and them just destroying them and watching Zion do whatever he wanted. I'm just like, what is this? And that's what kind of makes them aggravating, right? Like, performances like that. So I can understand why you would want to. And the 3 out of 4, it's tough to split the series. You wanted to take both of them from Golden State because it's a team ahead of you in the play-in. It would have really helped your case. But the Spurs are sliding, so that could help you out. And, by the way, they both have the Spurs and the Pelicans. If you go over to remaining strength of schedule, the Spurs have the toughest schedule left as of Thursday in terms of strength of schedule. No, excuse me. As of Thursday, the second hardest schedule because the Houston has the hardest schedule left of 6 games left. The Pelicans, though, have the 6th hardest schedule left. And that's 76ers, Lakers, Mavericks, Grizzlies, Warriors game. And by the way, Tankathon includes the Hornets as an easy opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Screw you, Tankathon. Mm-hmm. That's not an easy opponent. Especially for a team like the Pelicans, but I don't think their algorithm really equates for, like, you know, teams that are on similar levels. Regardless, I just haven't seen enough from them to, like, believe they'll string games together. And what's interesting is a couple of things. One, their offense has, like, completely disappeared. Offensive ratings over the last 5 games, 104.9, 97. Minnesota, 116.8, good. And then 102.9, 103.7. They played the Warriors the other night, one of those 2 games. Steph Curry had more 3-point makes than them. They can't shoot the ball whatsoever. And I don't know if you saw this because this just got reported. Their second best 3-point shooter, Brandon Ingram, is going to miss at least 1 game with an ankle injury.
That doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
No. Well,
but the Spurs could just stumble so much that you like, I'm not, this isn't meant to destroy you. I'm not passionate about
the Pelicans. I'm just looking at the standings.
I'm also just upset because they were my team like 2 weeks ago that I was like, look out, Pelicans could do it. And then Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Zion all got injured. They went like 1-4 over 5 games, and then they never really got it back together.
With Ingram being out, any games he's out, you have to look at Zion props over.
Yeah.
They're not going to stick together, that team. That team is, I don't know what they were thinking when they strapped Van Gundy in there and just the structure of that team.
Really weird.
Really weird that probably nobody is going to be on that team in 3 years besides Zion. Maybe even if, unless he like pulls a little, forces his way out of New Orleans. Because did you know New York's his second favorite place to play basketball? Have you heard this report?
That was such a dumb, that was weird. That was really weird.
Really weird of him to say that.
Yeah.
Like,
how excited and giddy he got.
Yeah, like, chill out,
I'm
Zion.
I'm so glad you asked me. That's not a Zion voice. He's actually got a much nicer voice than that, but...
Yeah. Chill out, Zion.
This is the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast, only on the VSiN Podcast Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
But I think they could make a push, and that leads to my next question to you. Who do you think the most dangerous play-in team is? Both sides of the bracket, just in general.
Well, first one's easy. The Wizards.
Yeah.
The Wizards are, like, again, so this is, it's funny, a as much as I like the Nets, like Gil asked me the other day on Primetime Action, like, what's your NBA finals matchup right now? And I was like, Clippers-Nets. Like, the Nets to me have like kind of solidly been my Eastern Conference representative. I picked them in the NBA guide. I was validated by watching them throughout the regular season. Like, when they reach their peak, they look absolutely untouchable from an offensive standpoint. And then the Clippers in the second half have arguably been the best team outside of the Suns. The Suns have gotten some really good wins, and the Suns continue to just be like a really solid train that won't stop along its path. But Clippers and Nets, but the point I'm making is, what I find really interesting is, as much as I have believed and been confident in the Nets, there's two teams that we talk about in the Eastern Conference that are outside of the top three, that their path to make noise relies on the Nets being the number one seed because they match up well with them, and it's the Atlanta Hawks and it's the Washington Wizards. Like, remember the two games, again, this is a team that beat Brooklyn twice as well. That ridiculous game where Russell Westbrook at the end steals an inbounds pass and then goes out to the wing and shoots a three to win. Like, they were fun games. That series would be so good. Russell Westbrook versus Kevin Durant, Wizards versus Nets. They'd be ridiculously high scoring. They'd be a lot of fun. But yeah, so like Eastern Conference, 100% it's the Washington Wizards. We could throw the Heat in there a little bit. They've kind of turned things around. I think, but they're 7-3 in the last 10 games. I have a ticket on them to win the Eastern Conference. I hope they do. But they haven't been consistent enough offensively. Like, in the Western Conference, I mean, I think it's Memphis.
That was my pick for the West. Yeah. I love Memphis. Yeah. I love this team.
I think it's probably Memphis. It depends on who they get to, right? Like, if they finish 8, you're talking about, well, either way, it's either going to be Utah or Phoenix. It just depends on how that all shakes out. But yeah, like, Portland sucks defensively. Golden State is good defensively, but sucks offensively. Mm-hmm. San Antonio is San Antonio, and the Pelicans, I don't even think they're going to make it in. And if they do, they're one of the worst perimeter defenses in the league, and their offense can't shoot. So, I think it's got to be Memphis. Like, and I don't even think they make it out of the first round if they get there.
No, I think they could do a scrappy series, though, with Utah or Phoenix, just because of how those teams are constructed. Right.
Like, well, especially, I don't think they want to see Phoenix beat Dutch out of them when they were playing in the regular season. I think Utah, especially if Utah is beat up, if Donovan Mitchell's not fully healthy, if that hamstring's still bothering Mike Conley, then that's probably going to be something where we'd be surprised how tough that series is for the Jazz, you know?
Yeah, and I think I'm so out on you. I've been out on Utah since I've been an NBA fan. I've just never liked them as a franchise for some reason.
They're good, but it's like when you get to like the second round, this is the case I've always made. This is why I like numbers. We also like matchups. Tell me who's guarding Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, there's no
Tell
answer.
Me who is guarding LeBron James. You're going to put Bogdanovich on either one of those guys, right? You're going to put Royce O'Neal. So you either go with, you get size a little bit more, not really, with Bogdanovich, but he's going to get blown by every time, or you put Royce O'Neal on him, and it's like, yeah, but like, what's Royce O'Neal going to do?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's a good defender. He's a solid player. From a matchup perspective, he can't handle either one of those two players. Like, they have no big-bodied wing to handle the scoring wings that they're going to have to face in either Los Angeles team. So, they're a good story, but I feel bad for him at this point. I don't think it's going to happen. And the injuries have been ridiculous.
Yeah. Let me see. I think they're going to have an ugly exit. I don't think the series they lose, I don't think it's going to bode well. I don't think they're going to lose like a 7-game burner in the second round. I think they might get bounced in 5 in the second.
I don't think it'll be that bad. They're a good team. You got to give them a little bit more. Like, top 5 defensively, top 5 offensively, they shoot the crap out of the ball. It's just like, I just don't know. Like, for example, I think Phoenix beats them. I think Phoenix matches up really well with them. I think Chris Paul's just going to pick on Rudy Gobert the entire time, right?
Yeah, just like that game.
From a statistical standpoint, you know, it was something I brought up with Humans when they were playing the other night, their last game of their series, when Utah got blown out by Phoenix. They're a team that plays 20-21 basketball defensively, which means they'll allow you to take mid-range shots. Problem is, Phoenix takes some of the, like, most mid-range attempts of any team in the league and leads the league in mid-range shooting. So that doesn't work. We talked about the defensive issues in terms of nobody able to handle Kawhi or LeBron. There's just so many things that work against them. Like, so many specific, like, they're not even little things, but so many specific things that work against them. Like, they would need a team like Denver to make a run. Yeah. And even then, Nikola Jokic eats Rudy Gobert for lunch for the most part. So, like, what are you going to do? It sucks.
Is Gobert your defensive player of the year?
Dude. I've been meaning to, I think, I want to try to look at this one more time before the season is. This is the one market where I have yet to really dive into. Like, licking the finger and sticking it in the wind by, like, reading NBA media and taking it in, I think Gobert is probably going to win it. Like, you have these nerds who try to make cases for Rudy Gobert as, like, an MVP candidate. You know what I mean? he's the most important Jazz player. Like, I get it, but I don't know why that's like my voice for everybody I disagree with, but it is today. So I think he's probably going to win, but Ben Simmons is so disrespected, I think,
it's
in
ridiculous.
Terms of where he is seen as a defender in the league. He is arguably, no, he is the best perimeter defender right yes. now in the NBA. You know, Kawhi's not fully healthy, and Kawhi, when he wants to, can turn it on. You can put Ben Simmons on anybody, and he would be able to adequately defend them. I mean, 1 through 5, anybody.
I think there's no question that he's the best defender in the league. Because to your point with the Chris Paul thing, with the Jokic thing, there are guys who neutralize Gobert's defense where it almost becomes a, like they can best him.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, there's no one out there who
you're
can
not
do
playing
that.
Ben Simmons off the floor on defense.
Exactly.
You can play Rudy Gobert
that's
off the floor.
That's why Gobert, -560, defensive player of the year to win it.
Yeah.
That's why I just don't think he deserves to be defensive of the year. Especially the we had those. You know, they have MVP moments.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons had defensive player of the year moments this year, too, with the Dame defense, the Luka defense, the LeBron defense. He's +250 still. I think media, there's been a big turn against Ben Simmons. Coming out, it was, oh my gosh, this guy's Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. And now it's this guy doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't train. He doesn't shoot better. And this year, it's been like, are you guys watching him?
Yeah.
I think he's incredible. He's probably my favorite player in the whole NBA to watch the things he does. And the defensive end of the ball, I don't think, like, probably since a young Kawhi, I don't think there's been a guy like this.
Yeah, he's been really good, man. But the problem is, like, we're talking about betting.
Yeah.
Like, I want more than 250. Like, that's the thing. If you notice some of these futures, like, if you have them in front of you, like, look at, for example, like most improved, right? So Randall's what right now?
-5,000.
But what's the second choice?
Jeremy Grant's 10-1.
10-1. All right. See, like, that, I think you want a little bit more. Than just 10-1 on a guy like a Jeremy Grant, right?
How about that flip? Jeremy Grant at one point was -$3.
Dude, this is my favorite. This is the peak of petty. I had one dude on Reddit like trashing me because I like Reddit. I like Reddit a lot. And like, I like to participate in conversations. I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
And I don't come from the standpoint of I'm Jonathan Von Tobel and I bet on this. No, it's just like, hey, what do you guys think about certain things?
Yeah.
And somebody was asking, put up a topic in the sportsbook subreddit about like awards. And this was like when we first brought up Julius Randle. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I was like, I bet Julius Randle at 22-1. You know, I think he's got a really good path, and now he's about like 8-1, 9-1. And like this dude's like, you're an idiot. You're either just a deluded Knicks fan. He's only increased his point per game average by 2 points a game. And I'm like, there's more than just points per game. And the guy's like, he'll come back to this when he wins the award, being Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
And you can eat some crow. I might have 3 weeks ago. Responded nice. To the thread and just been like, Julius Randle's -5,000. No response, shockingly enough.
You know who's my, like, as soon as it opens, getting the number if it's good for next year for most improved? Dort.
Lugans Dort?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to watch these guys first. Like, most improved is such a subjective thing. Like,
oh, yeah. But he's become a darling of, like, media. He's immediate. People love Dort. They love Lou Dort. Zach Lowe has a Lou Dort license plate in his shot when he's on TV. They love Dort. And Dort has explosive games where he'll drop 42. He's the guy I'm looking right off the bat to get
it's crazy, like, his potential, his scoring potential at times.
It's really weird. You'll have games where he won't shoot,
yeah,
and then he'll drop 42, and he's on probably the best contract in the
entire
NBA.
Like, his contract, like, his peaks and valleys in terms of his shooting, like, that's where it comes from. Like, it's insane. You go 7 of 9 one night, then like 1 for 13 another. Like it's Anthony Edwards-esque. Like Anthony Edwards has really evened out his game in terms of his like efficiency. But yeah, Dort's like incredible in terms of how extreme his performances get. I can see it. He's going to have the narrative of the thing a little behind him, but I think you want to see like with it being so like subjective. It's why you get Julius Randle in the midst of a really good season at 22-1. And when we were doing that, that was like in January, wasn't it?
It was January.
It was late.
Like he was already like a lock to be all-star at 20-1, which was that was the most like egregious thing. He was going to be a first-time all-star. He was 20-1. That was ridiculous.
Yep. So, yeah, I would wait on that. But I can understand the total thinking behind it, that he is going to have the narrative behind him. And he is in that range, what, third-year player, all that kind of stuff.
Everything, all the boxes check really well for
him. You know what I hope? I brought this up a couple of times, and I put a little money on him just in case. I have this sinking feeling that my boy Randall's going to get sniped by Michael Porter Jr.
Ooh, that'd be brutal.
The weird thing, because people, obviously, Michael Porter Jr. has, like, and Like, the Nuggets have been really beat up.
Yep.
Porter Jr.'s come along really strong and pull up his numbers over the last month.
He's got the narrative of, like, last year in the bubble, it was like, can he play with this team? Does he know how to, like, play in the NBA? And then beginning of the year, he was like, okay, he's filling his role. He's doing what needs to be done. And now it's like, oh, in Murray's absence, he's exploded to be this 24 points a night scorer.
You have the odds in front of you?
Yeah, 20-1.
20-1? Yeah. So I put a little bit on him at 25-1. Since March 30th, Michael Porter Jr., 23.5 points per game, 56% shooting from the floor, 44% on 7 3-point attempts per game, contributes 7.7 rebounds, and then, you know, the other ancillary stuff, 1.5 assists, 1.1 blocks, and only 1.5 turnovers.
That's not bad.
It's a really good line. And the thing that sucks is we're talking about a 20-game sample size.
Yeah.
But we have seen pushes from guys with just late-season swings.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if at the end of the year the media comes up with some arbitrary bullshit. I know I can't curse.
Recency bias.
No, it's not even that. It's like, well, is Julius Randle really most improved as a seventh-year player?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I get what you're saying.
Like, that has been kind of my worry when it comes to the award for the most part, but I still think Randle is going to win it.
But just in case.
Mm-hmm. Chump change on Michael Porter Jr. to win it. Just remember this pod when it actually happens.
That was one of the funniest adjustments I'd seen all year. On Rush Hour, Danny Burke plays props like every night. Mm-hmm. He was hammering overs on Michael Porter Jr. props when he started this run because they were 14.5 points, 12.5. They did not catch up to his points total, and it was just ridiculous. He's out there scoring 24 a night. Like, it's interesting to see his ceiling. Really quick, give me your top three MVPs.
In order?
Yeah, give me your three MVPs in order.
Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, James Harden.
Okay, interesting. I just want to see if you had Harden on there.
I mean, like, I just, like, who's number three? Like, I guess, like, do I use Chris Paul? Actually, that's not fair. Harden's missed too much time.
Mm-hmm.
I love James Harden, but, all right, I'm going to revise that. I will go Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, and Jimmy Butler.
Ooh, I like it. I respect it. Since he's been back, he saved their season.
Jimmy Butler's freaking awesome, dude.
He's been great.
And I don't know where they would be without Jimmy Butler.
In the lottery?
Yeah, well, it's pretty crazy, like, how bad. Because I'm going to pull up these numbers so I can put, like, something behind what I'm talking about here. But he has made all the difference in the world. And remember, they went on that 11-1 run, right around the time when I was like, hey, Eastern Conference, like, check this team out. And he was a big part of that because they were god-awful when he was dealing with COVID. And he had nothing going, and like they had nothing going offensively. Their defense had fallen off. Butler comes back. They're legitimately one of the best NBA teams defensively. And the games that he doesn't play, holy crap, how bad is that team? According to Cleaning the Glass, Jimmy Butler on the floor plus 4.2 in terms of the net rating. Nothing crazy. Defensive rating 108.1. But the contrast comes when you take him off the court from a plus 4.2 with Jimmy Butler on the floor every 100 possessions. To a negative 5.7.
Wow.
You're talking about a 9.9 point difference between Jimmy Butler on and off the court in their net rating. That's insane.
Not gambling related at all. Very interested to see what happens with Jimmy Butler in like the 20 years from now, how people remember him.
Yeah.
If he's remembered, right? He's one of those weird guys.
Especially this last push. Like, the Minnesota Timberwolves have fallen apart, right? For the most part.
Yeah. Like, since he's been gone,
the Bulls have been garbage.
It's like once he leaves, that team dips.
He's a winner. He's an absolute winner. All right, I know you have to get ready for the nuts. So really quickly, for anybody out there, like, rate, review, subscribe. Shorter edition this week. Next week, I have called it the Super Pod. Everybody who contributed to the NBA Guide have already reached out. Matt Humans, Kelly Bidlin, Aaron Renning, Mitch Moss, Jacob, myself. I don't think I'm missing anybody who contributed in terms of selections.
No, that was a committee.
Yep, so we're going to revisit the committee who made selections in the Guide. And we are going to get updated playoff selections from them, right? Talk about that. Ooh, look at this. I got a personal update from Circa Sports. VSIN. Check out the latest from VSIN. Look at that. I got distracted. But that's going to be the pod, the playoff super pod. And I'm working on some other guests as well. You can mix in there too. Other basketball minds. But I want to put together like a really meaty episode because I'm going to be off next week. No piece, like no hits, no nothing. So like, rate, review, subscribe. Always appreciate the support. And as always, at me, JVT, social media. You hear it in the stingers too, but questions, comments, concerns, whatever it is, always enjoy people reaching out. Next week, playoff Super Bowl. We're already there, dude. Like, this is the exciting part. The postseason is here. I love the NBA regular season, but I've been counting the days since it's been on the horizon, and nothing is settled yet. That's the absolute greatest part. So next week, stay tuned. Super pause, like, rate, review, subscribe, Hardwood Handicap.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.